And I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. We're taking a look at this epistle to this church in Colossae, some 60, 80 miles east of Ephesus, there in Asia Minor, a city that seems to have been evangelized as a result of the scattering, as a result of the Apostle Paul's ministry, not directly. We see that he comes near this city and the first and second journeys accorded in the book of Acts, but never to this city. It's never listed. But it certainly seems that there have been those that were touched by the apostles' ministry or others that came to this town, and the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, was effectual, and he saved sinners in this place. The apostle's writing to this church, and he's heard of their faith, he says in chapter 1, and he prays for them. He's thankful for the love that they exhibit. And the love in verse number 4 of chapter 1 that they have to all the saints. And so they're noted for that. He ends up this chapter where we took a look at the mystery and read this morning even about the mystery among the Gentiles. Christ in you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our Lord, our Savior is living within us. And praise be to his name. By that he's given us life. He says that he preaches him and warning every man, verse number 28 of chapter 1, teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect, mature, complete in Christ Jesus. It's the only way that a person can be saved. It's the only way a person can be full is by the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to this last verse and we wrapped up this chapter, except for this one thing that we want to look at this afternoon. Pardon me. I got a piece of that coconut pie in my mouth, Doug. It was good, but it stays with you. Verse 29. Whereunto I also labor. And so that's his calling and what he works unto as an apostle, as a child of God, with the calling of God upon him, striving according to his working, the Lord's working, which worketh in me mightily. What we want to look at is this word, the Greek word that is rendered here, working is rendered from the Greek word energia, the energia of the Lord. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his energia, which worketh in me mightily. So the energia of the Lord. We want to take a look at that. The Apostle Paul, he gives all credit of anything that has been good, anything that's been successful, that he's accomplished in this ministry, this calling of the Lord. So the Lord visited him, the Lord saved him, the Lord called him to this apostleship. He has been obedient to that. He writes in other places in the New Testament where he says, he worked and strove above all of the apostles. Now, he's not bragging on himself. He's just talking about the conviction that he has from the Lord. And he did pursue it in his person, in his heart, in his mind. But he, in the end of that, he does not say that he did it, but he said the Lord did it in him. But he yet had a drive to do it. And that's what we want to consider here, this energia. What it manifests in us and what it works in us, and is it so in us? Whereunto I also labor. And so he's laboring. The Apostle Paul suffered many things, didn't he? And he says over and over again that all the things that he suffered, all the things that he's endured, he's done it for the elect's sake. He's done it for the people of God. They're not known to him. So he would witness and testify to everyone that he had an opportunity to testify unto. And then the Lord, by the miracle of God, took his word, took that gospel that he presented and preached, telling about and preaching Jesus Christ. The Lord took that and made that effectual in sinners. But he labored. He didn't wait for the Lord to take and kick him off of the stump. He didn't wait for the Lord to take and goad him into going. We know that the Lord, there's examples of that in the Scripture. Remember Brother Jonah? The Lord said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, not going to Nineveh. The Lord said, you're going to Nineveh. We don't need to be found like that, do we? No, we need to obey the calling, obey the gospel, obey the calling of our Lord in us, and always looking to His energia, we pray. You reckon the Apostle Paul prayed that the Lord would help him? He did. We read some of that this morning, where he asked for prayers that his mouth would be open and he would have utterance and boldness to speak. He desired to speak. He desired to work and to do. He asked the Lord for help to do it. And when the Lord, when it was manifested in his life, it was, he was striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. He gave all the credit and blessing to the Lord. So let's take a look at a few passages here that speak about this energia. Ephesians chapter 1. So this is kind of a word study, a short word study regarding this word, Greek word, energia, in the scriptures. The Strong's reference for that word is G for a Greek word, 1753, if you want to write that in your notes and look it up later on. In Ephesians chapter 1, the apostle writing to the church to the west, right there in Asia Minor of Ephesus. And let's back up to verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It kind of sounds like some things he told the church at Colossae, isn't it? Doesn't it? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you might know what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Verse number 19, and that you might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And so we see here energia in verse number 19 mentioned again. What is the exceeding? He wants them to be enlightened that they may know. We need to be enlightened that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of his energia to usward who believe. What the Lord has done for us and done in us is incredible. It's magnificent. It's impossible, but he's done it. His power has wrought salvation in us, and we who were enemies of the Lord are given to be his children, his servants, his ministers to a lost and dying world. The exceeding greatness of his power. What is it that Jesus said? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Not most. He didn't say a whole lot of power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said all power. All power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? That power is not extended to those who do not believe. The power is given and it's manifested by those who believe. Do you believe? That's the energia. The who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, we're heading in chapter 2 of Colossians to deal with a use of this word, and it's going to be rendered differently. It's going to be rendered the operation of God, faith in the operation of God. And so we do well to understand about this energia, this power of the Lord that has been worked and manifested in us. So it is exceeding great. It is mighty. And it is to those that believe. And when verse number 20, which he wrought in Christ, here's the extent of the power, when he raised him from the dead. The energia was shown and manifested there when Christ, being dead, you know, the scriptures talk about that. Christ took back his own life. The Father raised the Son. The Spirit raised the Son. Okay, the scripture says all of those. All of the Trinity there. It was wrought. This mighty power was wrought in Christ. It's the same power that's within you and me. The same power that works in us, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The Lord Jesus sits as a man at the right hand of the Father in heaven today. by the power of God. By the power of God. Chapter 3 in Ephesians. He speaks here regarding the Gentiles. He's got a stewardship from the Lord unto the Gentiles. And a great stewardship it is. And he was faithful in that. That's by the power of God. The epistles to the churches from Romans to 2 Thessalonians were written by this man. The power of God upon this man, and have been effectual unto the saints and unto the world to the extent that they have been for nearly 1,900 years. 1,900 years plus. That's some energy, isn't it? That's some power. And I tell you what, folks have looked to abuse it, burn it, stuff it away in a corner, get rid of it, trample it, talk it down, and it's still here with us today, the Word of God. He made known this mystery, as we touched on this morning, verse number 3 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We're coming down here to verse 7, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be a fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, verse number 7, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace, the gift of gifts of God given to me by the effectual working of his power, the energia. Apostle Paul saved by the Lord on the road to Damascus, called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. How do you know that? Because he went on to be an apostle to the Gentiles. The energia is manifested in us. We can't claim the energia and be static. What telling is there that there's any energia in us? The energia in us of the Lord is manifested by our obedience, by our pursuit, by our desire, by our going. Paul, when he was called, and as soon as he got his sight back, what's it say there that he did in Damascus? He went and preached to the Jews right there in Damascus about that Jesus is the Christ. How did he do that? By the energia of God. But what did he do? He went and preached. It was seen. It was known. This man who was against us and killed us is now for us. That's the word that got around. Say what? This man that was taking the saints and putting them to death and bringing them, dragging them back to Jerusalem to stand in trial before the leadership of the Jews, this man is now preaching Christ Jesus? The energy of brothers and sisters is manifested by what we do. Brother Doug mentioned about what Brother James wrote. He says a man can claim to have faith. He can talk all the day long about faith, but the only way faith is going to be seen, the only way faith is going to be manifested, is by what we do. Now understand, there are folks that misunderstand. They think that faith can be conjured up by what they do. No, that's not the way faith comes. Faith doesn't come by what we do. Faith comes by repentance and faith, the work of the Holy Spirit, the effectual working of the Word of God within us, the mystery and a marvelous power of the Lord. But I tell you what, when the energia comes into salvation, the energia to work and to be obedient is at hand. And the way a sinner saved is known is by the energia that's in them. Whereof I was made a minister. There's the calling. According to the gift of the grace of God. The Lord was gracious. He didn't deserve that. He killed the saints. He persecuted the church. But the Lord called him to do it. The Lord is going to make a great statement with Paul. He's a chosen vessel unto me to take this man that's against my way. Jesus told him, you're kicking against the pricks. Who are you, Lord? Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He's going to take this man and make a statement with him that even a man that hates the Lord, hates Jesus, and hates his church can be saved by the energy of God and then be filled to go and preach the same one that he hated and that he persecuted. And so it was manifested, whereof I was made a minister. A minister ministers to people. We had preached some messages some time ago about that. What is our ministry? Our ministry is amongst people. We might use stuff and we might use things, but our ministry, the Lord's ministry, is always to people. It's the people. It's the souls. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. He didn't deserve it, but the Lord laid that on him. Given unto me by the effectual working of his power. The effectual, he called him. He would not let him escape it. He pursued it, and the Lord blessed him in it. The energia was manifested that way. How is the energia manifested in you and me? Is it manifested by what we say? Our talking? That's not enough. That's not enough. It needs to be manifested in what we do. Just like, again, as Brother Doug mentioned about James. James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. That's the energia. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4. We look here in the first third of the chapter. There's gifts that are given by the Lord unto the churches for a purpose found in verse number 13, unity in the faith. That's where we are to be heading. Unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, a full man, a mature man. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That we, in reference this morning, that we be looking into the glass and try to be seeing what's in there that the Lord reveals unto us. Not out here piddling away our time, looking around at the flies and the dust on the wall and all that, but that we be pursuing the Lord and His Word and what He has for us. We be wiping off that glass, trying to see more clearly. No more children carried about by every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, a theme of this church for decades, and a good theme indeed. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. That means, you know, any of you ever see them pour concrete? They want to take concrete and they shake it. They'll bang on it with a hammer on the forms. They'll take different tools put down in it, and they want to get all the air out of it to where it's just concrete. No voids, no spaces. That's what that word compacted means. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working, there it is, the energia, the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself of the body in love. So Christ has fitly joined together our church, and He looks for it to be compacted. Are you and I going to be able to be compacted? Are you and I are going to be able to be used in effectual working to the parts connected to us? Are we going to be able to work and be used to the Lord to increase the body and the edifying of the body in love if we are strown from the body or if we are near the body? You can't be compacted if you're not near. You can't be effectually working that nourishment, that ministry that you are to be working, that I'm to be working, that each member is to be, unless you're near. Only in being near is the energia of the Lord manifested in us. That we care about the body. That we're willing to give of ourselves for the body. That we want the body to increase. We're never going to be able to do that at a distance. We're always going to have to be near to the body. You just can't do it. Paul, we've read and will read in chapter 2 about he is with this church of Colossae in spirit. Okay, and that's an interesting statement, and we'll take a look at that when it comes time. To be thinking about someone and to be praying for someone is indeed something that can be done. But there's nothing like doing that present. We have shut-ins, seniors of our number, that wish that they could be here, but their disability, their bodily disability makes it very hard for them to be here. They would want to be here. We've had elderly members of our church. Do you remember years ago, Brother Tommy? I remember they took Brother Tommy, and I remember when the two of them carried him in the back door to sit over here about where Brother Doug's sitting. He wanted to be here in the services. And they had to carry him in. We've had other seniors that probably came beyond what they should have come. But they wanted to be here. You know what? Because they understood that there was a blessing. There was an encouragement. Their testimony and witness speaks on to us that saw that. They were here. And they wanted to be here. Would come and be present for anything that they could be, that the church would, because they wanted to work that energia that was in them. They wanted to be effectual in that increase of the body and that edification of the body, that joint supplying. I've had some of those elderly ones tell me, said, I don't know what I can do. I said, you're doing great by being here. Just by being here. You can pray. And you can be here. Their testimony is an encouragement to us, isn't it? It is. It is. That's what the energia is going to yield. The energia is never going to yield something from a distance to any that would be able to be near and be effectual and be used. That's how it's manifested. That's how it's manifested. From whom the whole body, that's our church, fitly joined together and compacted by Christ, by that which every joint supplieth. You're a joint. I'm a joint. I'm a part. You're a part. Each one of you is a part. According to the effectual working, there's the energia. In the measure of every part, we're all gifted differently according to the work of the Lord. Maketh increase. That nourishment causes us to increase, to grow of the body under the edification of, edifying of itself in love. And that word love there is agape. Love feast. As it's mentioned there and as it's spoken about there in 1 Corinthians 13. And then, next we want to take a look at the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's pick it up here at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. So Paul says, and that's a bold statement. What I'm doing, you do. Lord, help us that we'd be able to say that. You know, just think about things. I'm going to speak in just general terms. Do we want our young people to obey the rules that are set forth by the Lord or by parents or by the church? You know, there's order in the church. We have things in the way we do things. We have an order to those things. Do we want those after us, younger than us, do we want them to obey those things? Do we want them to follow after those things? If we do, you know who's going to be the best example of following those things and doing those things? It's going to be me and you. If there is an order, or there's a rule, or a process, or a standard to abide by, if we who are older don't abide by it, how can we ever expect the younger to abide by it? Listen, it's all natural for us to be freelancers. That comes naturally. I've got a way that I think is better, a better way to do it. That's just natural for us. I think it's best to cut this corner. I think it's best. We don't have to get that carried away with that kind of thing. But if that's the standard, if that's the rule, we need to follow that. We need to obey that. And we need to be an example of that, unless it's something that we need to change, say as a church. If it's something we need to change as a church, then we need to change it. But we don't need to have one thing and then do another. Because then the younger will just learn how to be freelancers even more. Do we want that? We don't want that, do we? No, it's not good for us to be that way. And so we need to follow what is right. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, so others that follow after this example of the apostle, as you have us for an example. That's a tall thing. But we need to be ready to say that ourselves. Do we want, if everybody in the church, you know, it's an age-old question asked by pastors, if everybody in church did like me, where would we be? Where would we be? If everybody in the church behaved like me, you ask that question for yourself, where would we be? How would it be? What would be our example? So he says, follow me, and mark them that do so, do the same, as you have for us an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, so he has a great care for the disobedient, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They only want what they want. See, when we become freelancers, that's what we want. We just want what we want. When I become a freelancer, I'm serving me. I'm just taking care of me. Not obeying the Lord, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, he said, this is the way it is to be. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior to come from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby the energia, he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, we are going to be totally and completely subdued from sin being given a body like Jesus. Isn't that something? You know, talking about a benefactor, I mean, we are benefactors. When the Lord does away with sin, that means the destruction of this flesh and this old mind. And he gives us one like the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin in our body has been dealt with and done away with. And look how we come out after that. A body and a mind like Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And it's by the energia of our Lord. The energia of our Lord that we are changed. You know, we need our minds renewed now. How will that be? By the energy of the Lord. We need that. But you know what? There's energia at work that's contrary to the Lord. Energia that is contrary to the Lord. 2 Thessalonians. Let's take a look over here. 2 Thessalonians. You can have energia, not be the Lord's energia. I don't think we should, as the Lord's children, we shouldn't be pursuing that, should we? Not at all. Here in 2 Thessalonians, and this church seemingly thinking that the return of the Lord, they had possibly received a false letter, and they thought that the Lord Jesus had already come, and so the apostle writes to affirm to them that the Lord Jesus has not come, and he gives them some guidelines about what is going to, what's going to take place before the Lord Jesus comes. And so here, let's read in chapter 2, and it's speaking about the Antichrist. The Lord, everything consists by the Lord's power. We've seen that in Colossians. It's all made by Him, all created by Him. Nothing's created, nothing's made that wasn't made by Him. And by Him all things consist. The wrath of man is going to praise the Lord, and the remainder of wrath He restrains. There's going to come a time when the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, is going to back off. And as we read this morning, this mystery of iniquity is already working. This spirit of mystery Babylon, this depravity of man, the wickedness and the iniquity of Satan, it's already at work. We pick it up here in verse number 7 of the second chapter in 2 Thessalonians. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, or restrain, that's how we would understand that better, will restrain until he be taken out of the way, till the Spirit of the Lord backs off. You know, the Spirit of the Lord present, he restrains wickedness. The Spirit of the Lord backs off, look out, things go, and Satan uses all the rope that he gets. And then shall that wicked, speaking of the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Well, that's good news, isn't it? He can't stand before the Lord. Verse number 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, the Antichrist, the wicked, the son of perdition, verse number 3. After the working of Satan with all power, with all energia and signs and lying wonders. So there is some energia that's not the Lord's. And we don't need to have any part with that energia. We've been saved from that energia. We need to rebuke that energia. We need to follow after the energia that is of our Lord. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, verse 10, and them that perish, why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Sinners are saved by the truth of God. Sinners are saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Word of God and His power. And because they have no love for the truth, they have no, I mean, not having a love for the truth, there's no nothing in them to cause them to yield into the truth, the Word of God, the salvation of the Lord will send them strong delusion, verse 11, that they should believe a lie. This energy of Satan is an energy not to be party of and not to follow after indeed. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And that verse 11 there is speaking about the power of the Lord to do just that. His energia will send the strong delusion. That's what happens in Romans chapter 1, right? Promiscuity. The Lord gives them over. Inordinate affection, the Lord gives them over. Don't want to retain the thought of God in their hearts and minds. That's where we are today in our country, in the world. God gives them over. He's got that power, and He can do it. And so the Lord speaks to us here and tells us about this energia. Let us be manifestors of the Lord's energy in us, that we would pursue to do well, that we would show our faith by our works to the honor and praise and glory of God. You know, the Lord told Nicodemus that. Folks don't come to the light because their deeds are reproved. But he that comes to the light, he enjoys being near the light. I'm paraphrasing. That his works might be made forth, shown forth, manifested, that they are wrought in God. The Lord saved us. The Lord's called us. The Lord empowers us. We work for Him. We minister for Him. We look to glorify Him by His power and His energia. What are we given to do? We pray to Him that He would help us, that He would provide for us. And any good thing that has worked in our lives, was worked in the apostles' life, He gave the Lord credit for it, is by His power indeed. And so next time, Lord willing, we'll go here into chapter 2. And he says here, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So we have here another hint. We had a hint in verse number 4 of chapter 1 about hearing of their faith. And that he gives indication that they hadn't seen him. As a church, they had not seen him. And then he mentions the same regarding the church at Laodicea. And that church at Laodicea is mentioned by the Lord in the book of the Revelation. And so another church down the road, and he's writing to those that have not seen him in person. And so we'll look to take that up.